Thank you, Dwight, and thank all of you for being here tonight. And we do have a number out on this site over here tonight. And, you know, Children's Bible Hour always hurts us on Sunday night. And we appreciate the good work that they do back there, though. But when you have a lot of young kids and they're back there learning on their level, that's a great, great thing. I appreciate you being here tonight for this particular lesson that I announced this morning. You know, you and I need to be a people that really should get to know God. How well do you know God tonight? If I were to ask you that question, how well do you know Him? How acquainted are you with our Father who is in heaven? Is He real? We sing that song, Our God, He is Alive, or How Great Thou Art. We sing all those great hymns that certainly echo the sentiments of our heart, that we really believe that there is a God. Factually speaking, in the book of Psalms 14 and verse 1, David said, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God." And so for someone to simply say, "I don't really believe there is a divine creator somewhere, or that there is a sovereign God who made us and made the world that we live in," that is a foolish thing for us to say. There's so many questions. Does God really want to speak to me? And how can I hear from Him? That's always been a question in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of people have issues with the idea that God speaks to us, and I've told you, and I will freely say tonight, that I don't believe God, not according to the Word, actually speaks in an audible voice to us, but I do believe that He speaks to our heart. I believe that God puts certain things within our mind and in our heart that the devil will try to snatch away. Now, he does, according to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Well, that brings us to another point. Is Satan real? Well, surely he is real. And in the book of 1 Peter, the apostle said that he is as a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. Why, his main objective is to draw you away from God. But the question again keeps surfacing to our mind. How do I know if I'm hearing God or Satan? Well, one of the best ways in the world for us to determine that is to recognize that the answer lies within this book that we call the Bible. Did you know that God will never, ever ask you to do anything apart from His Word? When Paul wrote a letter to the church at Galatia in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, he says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, proclaim any other gospel unto you than that which has been delivered unto you, let him be accursed," or "let him be anathema," "let him be cut off." And so we understand that the Word of God is true now just as it always has been. And Christ Himself in the book of Matthew 24:35 said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It is there forever. It is. Peter said the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. But you and I need to learn to listen when God speaks. And that gets back to the issue tonight. How do I know He speaks to me? Isn't it interesting that we sing all these hymns like we've been singing tonight and still deny the idea that God really speaks to our heart? Now, as I told you at the very onset of the lesson tonight, I don't think that God's going to ask you to do anything apart from His will, and I've heard a lot of people make claims to that. I've heard people say, "Well, God told me to do this," or "God told me to do that that was against the will of God." We've had incidents in this country in recent years where a woman one time said, "It was God who told me to take my children and drive my automobile out into the lake and drown them." God would not ever tell anyone to do anything like that. It's amazing sometimes the blame that people put on Jehovah God. But I can tell you one thing, that the devil will do his best to lead you astray from the path of righteousness, and he will draw you away from God. For again, in the book of Luke chapter 8, the Bible says that when the word of God is planted on rocky ground, the devil will come and snatch it away. And he does. But listen to the words of Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. He who is wise listens. You know, it would do us well sometimes just to listen, to be good listeners. Do you know the book of James says that every man should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath? So that tells me that God gave us two ears and one mouth, and certainly that's a great indication of something, isn't it? That we ought to be listening more than we speak. But I want to focus your attention tonight to the book of Psalms 139. David said, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He made the world and all things that are therein. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You remember me telling you about the five elements that actually make up the universe in which we live and how they're all contained in that very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning time, God force created energy, the heavens, space, the earth, mass. Those are the five elements that make up the universe upon which you and I live. And it's not by accident that they're contained in the very first verse of the Bible, the word that emanated from God himself. But in the book of Psalms 139, we're going to talk tonight about the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, and also the omnipotent nature of God. And you'll figure out in a minute what we're talking about when we use those words. It is simple enough to say that you and I serve an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. But do you know God? Do you really know him? Sometimes people say, well, I'm a Christian. That's not the question. The question is, do you know God? How well do you know him? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word know there means to know him in an intimate way. There needs to be an intimate relationship between man and God. You remember in the Old Testament how the Bible says that God, that Adam knew his wife? It's talking about having an intimate relationship with you. You and I need an intimate relationship with God where we converse with each other. We sing that old song, "My God and I." We go in the fields together. We walk and we talk as good friends should and do. I want you to listen to something up front, however, tonight. Before we get into Psalms 139, Jesus said in the book of John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep," listen to that, who are you? You're the sheep of God, aren't you? You are the flock of God. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, obviously, Jesus was talking about those who lived and perhaps in the ministry of Christ, but you and I are the sheep of God, and God speaks to us through the Word of God, too. We're going to talk about that and how important that is. But I want to talk to you, first of all, about the truth of God's omniscience. And what we mean by that is the fact that God is all knowledgeable. God is all knowing. For in Psalms 139, 1 through 4, David says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me." And listen to this. "Not only have you searched me, but you know me." Do you know God knows you better than you know yourself? Listen to what he says. He says, "Thou knowest my downsitting and my," listen, "uprising, thou understandest my thought that is afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Think about that. God hears every word that you speak. He knows every word you speak. Jesus came into the world to show us what God is like. Now, the omniscience of God is not something I don't think anybody should really ever question. David is saying in that text, he simply knows everything. He sees me for what I really am. We need to get ready to hear the Word of God. We need to hear it from the Bible, through the Word. How often do you read the Bible? How often do you let God really speak to you through the Word? There is an art to really hearing God and listening to Him. You know, you and I live in such a world of clutter, don't we? We do. Every day it's hard to even focus on God because we're so busy and we're dealing with mundane and trivial things in life. And we don't really have time to just stop and really listen to the Father in heaven. Thou hast beset me, David said, behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. Listen to this. Awesome God He is, with three answers to our prayers when we pray. He always answers us either yes, not right now, but I have something better in mind. Now, some people question whether there's a God because they don't see a positive answer to their prayers in all things. David, in this particular text, or the psalmist as we call him, talks about how well that God really knew him and how near God was unto him. How near is God to you? And the old James says to draw near unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. Look at verses 7 through 12. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? He says, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. Or if I make my bed in hell, and by the word hell there, that's not to suggest that God is in hell, but the word hell there is a translation from the Hebrew language, and it really means the grave. And that's the way that most Hebrews looked at it. I mean, to be away from the body. Now, he says, he's talking about the grave here, and he says, if I make my bed, what? In the grave, even thou art there, O God. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, the darkness shall cover me, a lot of people think that. Think about all the things that are done under the cover of darkness. Did you know that most of the crimes are covered under the cover of darkness? It is. More crimes are committed at night than any other time. They are. And so he says, even though if I were to say that the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. You see, nothing is really hidden from God. You don't hide from God. Adam and Eve couldn't hide from God. When God came walking in the coolness of the garden that day after they had sinned against God, and he cried out, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God was oblivious to where they were, but he wanted Adam to find out where he was. Where are you, Adam? Nothing in creation is hidden from God, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. In the Old Testament, one of the great stories that intrigue us is the story, listen, of Samuel and how at Eli's house, you remember his mother had carried him up to the house of Eli. And that night, God spake unto this young boy. And he went and he told the prophet about it. But God says unto him, and speaks unto him. And the young son says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, command, and I will obey. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10. When we listen to God, and I'm going to tell you something, it's equally important that we listen to God as well as God listening to us. We must listen attentively according. And I wish I had time to go over all these scriptures. I put them up there if you'd like to jot some of them down. But we are to be people that listen attentively unto God. We should be people that listen reverently because holy and reverend is the name of God. We are to be a people that listen in a passionate way unto God. For in Acts 2:37, they were pricked in their hearts. They were passionately moved by the word of God when it came. But today, the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing For Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, that the God of this world has blinded their minds and he has stopped their ears from hearing. It is true. Is Satan real? Better know it. And he gets into your mind and you'll start listening to him instead of listening to your Maker. And there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And anytime, let me tell you, you know how you can know whether or not you're listening to God or listening to Satan? Listen, if someone is telling you to do something that is not right in the sight of Jehovah God, you can rest assured that it's not God speaking to you. It is Satan who is speaking unto you. But there's a truth also that we need to recognize, not only about the omniscience of God, but about the omnipresence of God. Listen to what David again says in Psalms 139. If I ascend into the heaven, out there. If I make my bed in the grave, there's the word, one translation says, behold, thou art there. Death does not hide us from God, not according to verse 8. Now that's what he says. And distance doesn't hide us from God. If I make my way to heaven, verse 9 says, and the depths of the ocean cannot hide us from God, verse 9. And darkness cannot hide us from God, for it's like daylight unto God. Darkness is, verse 11, because God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is among us tonight. Did you know it? He is right here. You know, I've often wondered, would people show up on Sunday night or Sunday morning if on our church sign sometimes out there to white, we had God appearing on Sunday morning? He is appearing. He is here. And Jesus is here. For in the book of Matthew 18, he says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Sometimes, you know what we have to do to let God speak to our heart? And I think, let me tell you what I mean by that. You know, sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray, and we want God to answer our prayers. We pray about it, and I've talked to many people, and I say to them sometimes about their dilemma. I said, well, just pray about it. And they say, well, I've prayed about it, and I still don't see an answer. Well, let me tell you what I think you need to do. You need to really pray fervently, first of all, about whatever it happens to be. And when you really pray about it, I think God puts it in your heart to know what you are to do. Don't we pray that? God, guard, guide, and direct us. Don't we pray to God all the time and ask for the leading of God? I mean, how else would he do it if he didn't put it in your heart? He does. We just have to do what the Bible says in Psalms 46:10. Listen, God says, be still and know that I am God. Like I said, we live in such a rush world that we don't have time to stop and just be alone with God and listen to God speak to our heart. We need to hear from God. We do. There are some people that will not listen because Satan is real. He is real, and again, Satan will get into your mind, and Satan will lead you astray. There is no truth in him. He is a liar. Listen to that. He will distort the truth. He will try to get you to believe a lie, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He is the father of all lies, John 8 and verse 44. But then thirdly and last of all, there is another thought that you need to know about this question that we're discussing here tonight. And that is the truth of God's omnipotence. Now that word omnipotent is a big word, but it just simply means the all-powerful nature of God. God is all-powerful. And he's more powerful than Satan, by the way. He is. John writes, he says, greater is he that's within you, that is God, than he that's in the world. And so when you're listening to God speak, the way you tell the difference is whether or not you're listening to the all-powerful God and to His message, or whether or not you're listening to someone who's trying to tell you to do something different than what God said. In verses 13 through 16, David used this expression. He says, "For thou hast possessed my reins," and he says, "thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance." Isn't that amazing? We got people today that believe in abortion and believe it's all right to abort young babies, and yet those babies are in substance in their mother's womb, and God sees that substance, and God calls abortion a sin. And the United States government can call it what they will, but I'm telling you, it is wrong. It is abominable in the sight of Almighty God. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members," he said, "were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." And God fashioned man. David said, "God created me," verse 14. "He considers me," verse 17. And verse 18, he says, "He cares for me." Sometimes we just need to back up and let God speak to our heart. And I'm going to tell you, He speaks to my heart every day. Every day. Jeremiah 33 says in verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, there's some people in this world that think they have a handle on everything in life, and I freely told you that I don't feel that I know everything. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm not telling you that I know everything in the world there is to know about everything. Only most of it. No, I'm teasing. But what I am telling you tonight, is that that's true of all of us, isn't it? And God says to you, and He says to me, He says to call on me, and I will show you. I will show you things that you do not know. Is Satan real? Absolutely. And he blinds the eyes and the hearts and the hearing of our loving God. And as I said, there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of all lies. But God says to us that we are to obey his commands. And the devil says to us, "Hey, you don't need to obey the commands of God." But you know what? The devil has been doing that ever since he fell from the heavenly state. He did. He tried to exalt himself above God. And God cast him down to the earth. And you know what? He's been doing nothing but telling lies all along. For when God had placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he told them that they could partake of any fruit of the garden that they wanted to partake of except one. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, "In the day that you partake thereof, you shall surely die." And yet the devil makes its way, the seething, sneaking, it's hard to say slimy. That really is the way he works too. Cunning devil comes to them, and he only changes that one commandment of God with one word. And he says, "You shall not surely die." And you know what they did? They listened to the voice of Satan instead of listening to the voice of God. And because of it, they were driven from the presence of God. They were driven from the garden. And cherubims and seraphims were placed at the entrance into that garden where they could never come in again. And God moved the tree of life out of that garden into heaven. It would behoove us to stop and ask ourselves the question every day, am I listening to God? Or am I listening to Satan? You know, I think God freely speaks our heart, as I told you, and I really believe sometimes that we want to back away from that, and we say, well, I just don't know where this God. I can tell you, if God is speaking to your heart, and what he is saying is confirmed by the written word, you will know that it is true. I believe God works on the hearts of people to try to get them to do the right thing. I do believe that, and I believe that when the word, listen, God says, my word will not return unto me void, and it won't. The word convicts people. It does. Paul the apostle, when writing to the Roman church in Romans 1:16, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, that omnipotent power of God, to convict us of our sins and to bring us to a realization, perhaps maybe that we've strayed away from God and we need to come back to him. And maybe that's the case tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've not become obedient to the commands of Jesus and your desire is to do that. And we're going to sing a song that we often refer to as the invitation hymn or the song of encouragement. Dwight has selected that song, Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus. And I want you to listen to the words of that song. Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus. Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus. And he's calling you right now while we stand and while we sing.